Hey everyone, let's take a look at Luke chapter 18 today, starting in verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So chapter 18 of Luke, as Jesus proceeds toward the cross, has to do in the sort of overall view with who will receive the kingdom. What we might say what we might mean when we express the term being on the right side of history. You hear that term a lot today in politics and in questions of public morality. And most of the time when people say it, they assume they are on the right side of history. It's a similar thing that's going on here. Who will be a part of the kingdom of God when it comes and who will not? That's the question going on here. It was a question in Jesus' day. When would the kingdom of God come? Who would establish it? Who would be a part of it? And I think all three of these scenes are addressing that question, and they're meant to address it in a surprising way. So rather than look at each one individually, which is profitable, I want to look at them all together, which is also profitable because they're all saying something similar in a slightly different way. It's a variation on a theme. So the first, we have this image of a widow. Jesus says it's about prayer, but I would suggest that in general, this is just the posture of standing before God and a person standing before God. Now remember, in the ancient world, there was nobody poorer than a widow unless there were somebody who was dead. A widow with no family, had no resources and usually had to resort to the most degraded means of providing for herself. So a widow is in a very desperate condition. And this widow is crying out to an unjust judge. And Jesus is trying to make the point, even an unjust judge will eventually, just to get rid of this person, give her what she's asking for. How much more God will he give to those who cry out to him the justice that they're asking for? This theme of a widow crying out to an unjust judge, probably against maybe family who are keeping her from the resources that she needs to live, evokes, among other things, the Psalms. The Psalms have a repeated plea of a person in distress, a person in who's being opposed by wicked people, crying out to God to deliver them. And I would suggest overall that this woman probably represents Israel, and I might even say represents the church. After all, what else can we do in the face of the great injustice and great persecution of Christians around the world but cry out to God and ask for him to do something? Then we have this incident with the child. People are bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And by the way, I would just comment on the power of that. God seems to honor when we want to bring people to him, for him to touch them and do something for them. Jesus honors that. And I think that should really inspire our prayers and encourage us that when we bring people before him, that he might touch them, he really listens. He really cares about that. But the point of the scene is that the disciples keep the children from coming. And of course, Jesus rebukes them and says, no, unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, there's this question of who will be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And people have endlessly debated, what is the point? What is it being like a child? Is it innocence? Is it humility? Let me just suggest for our purposes here that I think it's they really don't have anything to offer. Certainly, they're valuable in the sight of God, but they're not, as it were, productive. There's nothing they have to give. There's nothing they really have to contribute. And I think that's the point. Unless, Jesus says, you realize you've got nothing to offer God, you can't even begin to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's when you come before him with an acknowledgement that you've got nothing to offer him, that you can really begin to enter into the kingdom. Finally, the last scene I've gone out of order here, but the scene with the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, again, it's an issue of prayer, and this Pharisee prays, and in his prayers, in the forefront of his mind is comparison with other people. And really, the calculus he's doing in his head is, man, I'm glad I'm not them. All right. When he prays, that's what's in his head is, I'm glad I'm not that guy. I'm glad I'm not that person. I'm glad I'm not that person. It's a kind of patting himself on the back. Notice that he actually doesn't pray for anything. He's just sort of self-satisfied and congratulating himself. And then notice the tax collector, which again would have been seen as the worst kind of low life to Jews of Jesus' day. He stands before God and assumes he's wrong. He stands before God and assumes that there is guilt in him that he can't rectify. And unless God has mercy on him, he's in terrible, terrible trouble. He assumes his guilt. He's humbling himself before God and knows that when he comes before God, all he has to offer God is guilt and all he can plead for is mercy. And of course, Jesus says that man goes home justified. So taking all three of these, a widow who is destitute and has no power, children who have nothing to offer, they have no resources to offer, and a sinner who has no moral rectitude to offer. He is only aware and chiefly aware of his own failings and his own problems. Those are the people, Jesus is trying to tell us, who can participate and interact with the kingdom of God and receive God's help. And I guess I would say that these are so important for our day because we live in a time, maybe all human history is like this, but I think we live in a time when everybody is absolutely convinced of themselves being right, when everybody is sort of measuring their worth and what they have to offer. And I think Jesus is teaching us about a fundamental stance we are to have before God. It is said that Martin Luther on his deathbed said, we are beggars. That is true. And I think Jesus is teaching us that when we come before God, we are like little children with nothing to offer. We are like widows who have no resources and no power whatsoever. And we are like the tax collector who the only thing we can plead is for mercy. But, and this is the key, that if we plead for these things, he is generous and willing to give it. And again, I would say the overall posture in all three of these situations is humility. It is a recognition and a kind of an awareness that we carry with us, not I'm better than that person, I'm better than that person, or look at what I bring, or anything like that, but I am sustained by nothing but the mercy and the grace of God. So I would say that these verses and these parables that Jesus is giving us is a wonderful formula for Christians in our current climate. Let us be those who consider, I might be wrong. In fact, God, show me where I'm wrong because I want to repent. I want to plead for mercy. So may we be like this widow. May we cry out to God day and night for justice. May we be like the tax collector who says, Lord, have mercy on me. I know I need mercy. Lord, show me the wrong that is in me so that I can repent of it. And may we be like children who come rejoicing that we are welcomed, not that we have anything to offer God when we come. Amen.